You know, I think about the presence. You think about presence, and how do you measure the value of a present? How do you measure that? You know, I mean, I remember as a kid, and, you know, usually mom would start wrapping gifts and she'd put them under the tree, but it usually wasn't until Christmas morning when you got up and you seen all these gifts, and you had little ones and you had big ones, and it was the big ones you thought, wow, that's got to be the best gift ever because it's big, you know, and then you run over there and you grab a hold of it and you can't help yourself, you know, and you grab the gift and you pick it up, and sometimes it's real light. It doesn't weigh hardly anything, and then you think, eh, that can't be worth anything. There's doesn't feel like there's anything in it, you know. And then you grab a gift, you know, and it's real heavy, and you think, man, that must be worth a lot. That must be really valuable. This is going to be the coolest gift ever. And, I mean, we measure things that way. And how do you judge its worth by, you know, sometimes we judge it by its size, how big it is, how much it weighs, or do you judge its cost? Maybe by its usefulness, once you've seen what it is. You know, because some things seem to be more useful than others. I mean, we put more value on those, right? You know, we like our cars. We put a lot of, I mean, they're very useful, they're very valuable, but man, I'll tell you what, if you had to walk to town every day to get groceries or every now and then, I mean, That's pretty valuable, that vehicle that we have, isn't it? To be able to get us from where we live to where we're going, I guess. You know, what I'd like to do this morning is examine really how God's present, what's His present to us? You know, it was wrapped up. It's got a big bow on it. It's standing in a corner, and it's larger than life. You know, this morning I'd like to look at the Word of God in 1 John 4, 9 through 11. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me? But I want to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I thank You for Your hope and Your peace and Your joy. And Lord, I thank You for the love that You showed us. This awesome gift of love that You gave us. Lord, I praise You this morning. Lord, let us not leave unchanged this morning. Lord, let Your Holy Spirit do mighty things to us today. Lord, we surrender ourselves to You. Lord, I praise You and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. This is how God showed His love for us. God sent His only Son into the world so we might live through Him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. My dear, dear friends, if God loves us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. I love the way that's written through the Message Bible. I read different translations, but man, that one just stood out to me. The way that it was written, so simply. He says, my dear, dear brothers, my dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. Amen?
Amen.
You know, how do we measure the value of God's gift? How do you do that? How do you measure the value of God's gift? This morning I'd like to talk about three different ways, but the first, God's gift to you is measured by its usefulness. And I mentioned that earlier. What is the usefulness of the gift given to us? If you notice there in verse 9, the usefulness of the gift is what? So that we might live. So that we might have life. Jesus said it this way, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In John 10:10. What a promise, really. What a promise that is not just to have life, not just to exist in this world, because I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that just go through this world, they feel like that all they're doing is existing. But God says, I want you to have more than that. I don't want you to feel like all you're doing is going through the motions. I don't want you to feel like that all you do here is exist, but I want you to have something more. I want you to have a life that is worth something. A life that has meaning. A life that has purpose. I want you to have a life that's more abundant. And that's in me. That's a life in me. That's why He came, to give us life. God has made you and me special. Have you ever been called special before? Sometimes people look at that as being negative. But let me tell you, God made us all special, whether you like it or not. He made you the way He wanted you to be. As messed up sometimes as that can be, He made you special for a special purpose. Man, I think about, He chose us. The Scripture says that He chose us before the foundations of the world. He chose you. Man, you think, let that sink in this morning. God knew what He was doing. He picked you out for Himself. For His own. You know, it talks about that in Ephesians 1:4 is how He chose us. You know, we're specially created, handcrafted, uniquely made, many of us, for the purpose of bringing glory to God. Everything that we do, and I'm going to tell you, I am here for the glory of God. I'm not here for Randy, right? I want to be. That's what my fleshly side says. But the fact is that God made me for a special purpose, and that was to glorify Him. To bring glory to Him. All things work for the good of God, right? All things. Even this messed up guy standing up here on the platform. Take somebody like me that really always thought of himself as very little value. And He says, I can use you if you'll just let me, because I made you. Amen. That's all of us here this morning. My purpose is to live a life that magnifies the Lord, to encourage and to support each and every one of you to become more like Christ. That's what I want to do. To use my gifts, my talents, whatever God gave me to use, to glorify Him and to help somebody become in a relationship or with Him, God the Father. That's our purpose, guys. I mean, He made us all different. He gave us all different gifts. And I've talked about that many times before. But God created us all a little bit different, but yet all the same in His image. In the beginning, He made man in His image. He made humankind in His image to be like Him. But yet we failed. There's a guy that wrote a book. He's one of our... I'll think of his name here in a minute. It'll probably hit me after I'm home. But he taught at Olivet. And he wrote a book, Dr. Graves. He wrote a book called Becoming Human Again. And what he's talking about is how we were made in the image of God, and we were made human. We were made that way. And because of sin, we become not so human again. And that's what he's saying. We come a circle. We're becoming human again. In other words, we were becoming like we were created. And that's what it means to have that close relationship with God. I don't want to get off my message this morning. I want to say our purpose, not only as individuals, but our purpose as a church is to bring glory to God. We are here for that purpose, to bring glory to God, to bring glory in this community to God. Amen. We need to show this world that we live in that God is who He says He is and that He sent His Son because He loved us so much. Created each and every one, not just you guys. He created everyone outside this building with a special purpose. They just don't know it yet. That's what our job is. You know, I think of that scripture that says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." That's in Matthew 25, 21. "You brought me glory," is what he's saying. "You have enlarged the kingdom of God, and you have done well." God's gift of salvation to us is useful. That's my point. It has a purpose. It's useful. It gives us meaning and it gives us value. And our purpose is to bring glory to God. Not only as individuals, but as a church. Amen?
Amen.
The second thing is this gift, you measure by its cost. God doesn't want our leftovers, I'll say that. Sometimes we give Him our second best. Because we've got other things to do. And so we give Him our leftovers. Sometimes it's leftovers of our time. It's not just always monetary. Sometimes it's just our leftovers. Sometimes we give Him our leftovers of our life, our heart even. He doesn't want just the cheap stuff. Have you ever got a gift that you just didn't much like? And you got it and He's like, "What am I going to do with this?" And you wrap it back up and you give it to somebody else. I've never done that. I know some of you have, though, or you wouldn't be laughing. He wants the best of you and me. He wants us to give the best that we have. Sometimes the best we think is not so good, but to Him it is, because He knows that whatever we're giving, if we're giving it our all, it doesn't matter how much it is, just like the widow's mite. It wasn't about the amount that she gave. It was the fact that she gave all that she could. Right? That's all He wants from us. He just wants the best that we have. And that means our heart, that means our time, that means whatever. He just wants us to give Him our all. You know, in 2 Samuel, King David says, he says this. He says, "I will not offer the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." I was talking about that re-gifting. You know, to a person, we give them a gift that we really didn't want. It really doesn't mean so much, does it? But when we give them something of value, when we give them something that really means something to us, something that we hold dear. You know, I want people to have the Jesus that's inside me. The gift that has been given to me. The most valuable gift ever. Do you consider that gift the most valuable thing ever given to you? The gift of life? Sometimes I wonder if people don't get it. They think they've just been re-gifted something. Man, I want people to have that feeling within me. And I know it doesn't make problems go away. It doesn't make things in this world go away. But it sure makes things in this world go easier when you have the love of God in your heart. David said it. He says, if I'm going to give a sacrifice to the Lord, he was going to give his best. Something of value, something of worth. You know, why would David say that? Because that is God. What God has done for us, shouldn't we give him? If he gave his best, should we not give our best back? He gave us his son. It says this is the kind of love we were talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice. God knew what had to be done. We know that. He knew what price had to be paid. He knew what it was going to cost him, and he sent the best for you and me. He sent Jesus Christ, born as a child in a manger for the salvation of the world. So really, what should you give him? What should you give him for what he gave you? Is God's gift valuable to you? Thirdly, God's presence to you is measured by its effectiveness. You know, I think about the gifts that I get sometimes, or you get. You know, if you get a toaster for Christmas this year, you expect that toaster to toast, right? Yeah. If you get a coffee maker, you expect it to make coffee, right? How effective is it? But the question needs to be asked, what does our salvation, what's its intention? What should it do for you? What is this love that God gave? What was its intention to do for you as an individual? I simply believe and know that it was there to change you. It changed me. When God saved me, when His love came upon me, it changed me from who I was to who I am today. And it's still changing me every day. You know, I think it's a mathematical formula. 1 + 1 = 2. Simple like that. God's gift is useful, plus God's gift is valuable, plus, or it equals, we ought to love one another. That's where that love comes from. Verse 11 says, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. Ought. You use that word all the time, don't you? You ought to do that. You ought to do that. Seems like an odd word, doesn't it? But we use it. I mean, I do. I don't know. Maybe it's just because where I was raised. Just one of those words that I've used. Man, I ought to go do this. It sounds almost like a suggestion, but really it's more than that, because in the Greek word for ought, it's translated more like must. And the root word means actually, what it actually means is you owe something. It's actually a mathematical term. That you owe something. You owe a payment. You're under an obligation, in other words. You must pay it back. Isn't that odd? Why he would use that word ought right there? I know there's a lot of people who don't believe that. But I think it's more of that must when you really look at how it was written. It would say like this, if God loved us like this, we certainly must love each other. I think that sounds right. We must love each other. The Bible talks about how we ought to love each other. It talks about how we must love each other. I like that word, must love each other. Love your neighbor. Love God. Why? Because God is not done loving this world yet. That's why we got to love each other. That's why we got to love our neighbor as ourself. He wants to keep loving the world through you and through me. That's what our purpose is. Showing the love that God gave us to everyone else around us. He says this in Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill. It cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine so before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Wow. Does God's love change you? Does God's love change you? Did God's love change you? Amen. You see, that's what love is intended to do. It doesn't make toast, or it doesn't make coffee. It doesn't do any of those other things. It makes love, right? God is love. And He brings love to this world through you and I. We just have to be willing. And I use that word ought again. That's what we ought to be doing. It's showing the love. That's what we as individuals should do, and that's what this church should be doing. Is we ought to show the love of Christ to this world. Amen?
Amen.
This is how God showed His love for us. God sent His only Son into the world so we might live through Him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. My dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. We certainly must love each other. Amen?
Amen.
If I don't see you till next Sunday, I wish you all a very Merry Christmas. I love each and every one of you. I care about you deeply. Not just because I have to. Not just because I ought to, but because Christ lives within me. And He loved me so much that I want to be like Him. So have a great week. Have a Merry Christmas. Love you and see you soon. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You again, Lord, for the love that You've so showed this world. Lord, let us show that love. As long as we're here, Lord, let us show the love that You gave Your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, I praise You. I thank You for each individual that's here this morning, the ones on Zoom, Lord. I pray that You bring comfort and peace and joy and hope and love to their families. Lord, we lift Connie up to You this morning, Lord. Lord, our dear sister, she's in the hospital, Lord, and You know all about what's going on, Lord, but we pray for healing there. We pray for Your love to fall upon her and her family. Lord, let your Holy Spirit do its mighty work. Lord, there's so many others here this morning. Lord, we just praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.